Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
The game is over. What went right and what went wrong? It's time for the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, brought to you by Lakeland University. Experience it your way. Visit lakeland.edu. Let's get to your hosts of the show, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Tommy Wirtz, on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Well, here we are. The game is not done as we speak. 21 seconds to go in this one as we broadcast live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Sparky is here. Tommy Wirtz is other side of the glass. The Packers lining up to punt. Wheeling will be at about his own 5 when this one gets snapped to him. 21 seconds to go. Packers are up 27-20 in this game. And I'll be honest with you, considering everything that has gone wrong in this football game, and there has been a lot that has gone wrong in this football game, so even with a Packers win, to escape this with a win, considering everything, to me, is a gigantic deal for the Green Bay Packers. A gigantic deal. Because, yes, we all wanted the Packers to blow out the New York Giants. Yes, we all wanted them to win convincingly. But you lost several players due to injury in this one, right? You lost Jordan Love due to injury. You lost Josh Jacobs due to injury. Now, Love came back, obviously, but Jordan Love was out for a while. Malik Willis gets a touchdown, which was nice. You lose Josh Jacobs to injury in this one. Romeo Dobbs, he got banged up multiple times in this game. I mean, there was a lot to overcome from a Packers standpoint in order to still figure out a way to win on the road in New York against the Giants, a game in which I'm not going to say was a must win or anything crazy like that, but you definitely did not want to lose this football game to the New York Giants. That is for certain. Last play of the game, Jameis Winston gets hit from behind, and the Packers get the win 27-20. Let's open it up. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Nicolay Law talk and text line 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. You can also, of course, use the social medias. We are live on X. We are live on YouTube at WI Sports Radio. At WI Sports Radio. Stream us live at the website as well at WISportsRadio.com. Micah Parsons with a hit from behind on Winston as he tried to throw a Hail Mary there at the end and caused the ball to come loose. Packers were able to recover it. Game, set, match. Packers win. Tommy Wirtz, your thoughts?
That game was way too stressful and way more stressful than it needed to be this Sunday. I think that this Packers team, even with a victory, I see a lot of problems with this team that need to get fixed in the next month right now. I think that this Packers defense might be a little overrated right now. I think that two things can be true, that I want to see Jordan Love play a little bit better, but you cannot look at this game on the offensive side and think Jordan Love was the problem. The offensive line and the wide receivers are both much bigger problems than the quarterback play, in my opinion, as well. And I just couldn't believe that Green Bay kept it like that. How many interceptions were they going to drop before they caught one?
There's
how
least
many?
Three or four.
Seven drops today, too, from the wide receiver room. The offensive line is the least intimidating offensive line after they tried to spend so much money on it this offseason and beef it up. That was a complete whiff. Thankfully, they escape with a victory.
Zach Tom leaves. That's another guy that ends up leaving. Kennard ends up having to come
in. One more thing. We got to stop talking about kickers. Just stop talking about it, because
there's
this
no
is
chance of stopping now after this fiasco today.
You're never going to get it right then, because
but Tommy, everybody's going to blame the wind and say the wind was out of control. The one extra point that he took, the ball was going straight, and he literally saw the wind just go whoop and move it directly to the left. Now, the Giants kicker, he pulled one directly left. Okay, that wasn't wind. His leg came across his body and so forth. That second extra point, though, was definitely going straight and then went left. I think it was to the wind. Now, again, bad snap. The laces weren't facing the kicker and everything else that went along with it. Sean Ryan, separate of that, as far as snapping the ball at Jordan Love, didn't have a great day snapping the football either, if we're being honest, as far as him playing at center. The one ball that Love missed was way to his left. He had to reach out and hit it down with his left arm. He snapped another one. Love had to jump up in the air to get off the shotgun. So, yes, there are plenty of issues to discuss, but let's remember everything else. They won, and that should be the most important point of today's Green Bay Football postgame show powered by Lakeland University. Nicolay Law talking text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Now they went to the Falcons-Panthers game, and apparently Penix left the game due to injury. Panthers trying to drive now to take out the Atlanta Falcons. That game is in Atlanta on top of everything else. All right, let's get to some calls and see what y'all got to say. Some text messages as well. Greg in Waukesha, you're first up on the Nicolay Law Talk and Text Line. Greg, your thoughts on a Packers victory today?
Sparky, man, this team, they don't call them the cardiac pack for nothing. You know, I have to give them this, though. Next man up? Okay. Yeah. Did any of us know about Josh Wiley before this game?
No.
No? I didn't hear about him. He had, like, one or two catches. You know, I'm just going to say this. We're not making a Super Bowl, you know, this year. I think we'll make the playoffs. I think we'll maybe make it into the first or second round of the playoffs. But even with everybody healthy now, Jordan Love is, you know, whatever happened with him. I don't know what his thing is going to be. Clay Walker's, you know. But if this team keeps playing next man up, maybe we can do something. But unfortunately, you know, there are only so many men that we can put in. And obviously now we need, you know, some help in special teams. And we've known that all year. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is we need a lot of help. And I just hope we get a good draft next year, you know, draft some offensive linemen, draft some people who, you know, can get in there, start making plays. But that's where I'm at, Sparky. Thanks.
All right, Greg, thanks for the call. I am not there. I am not the, they're not going to the Super Bowl. They're not that good. This team, you know, whatever, season's over. First of all, you won the game despite numerous injuries, despite numerous drops. by both the DBs and the wide receivers in this football game. Despite, and your starting quarterback leaves, and yet again, Malik Willis, a backup quarterback, comes in and gets you a touchdown. Huge props to Malik Willis to come off the bench cold to be able to pull that one off. So props there, too. I just think there's a lot of negatives, sure, that we can talk about. But I'm not ready to write off a Super Bowl or a deep drive in the playoffs when you've got several weeks to go in this thing. Again, all you need is this team to be hot going into the playoffs. That's all you're looking for. Just get hot at the right time. Yeah, they're not getting a lot of turnovers on defense. But here, last couple of weeks of the season, all of a sudden they get a couple turnovers in this game. They get a couple turnovers in that game. Becomes a little bit contagious, and all of a sudden this defense steps up when they have to. As far as giving up points and so forth from a defensive standpoint, it wasn't a horrible game necessarily by this Packers defense. They did enough. Now, would you have liked to see them do more? Yeah. I mean, the Giants had half their offense out in this football game due to injury. So I think coming into the game today, you're like, okay, well, this better be a Packers win for sure, if nothing else. But I think a lot of people were expecting a Packers blowout, which clearly did not happen because a lot of which had to do with them between injuries and self-inflicted wounds. What say you, Nicolay Law, talk of text line 414-677-1250 after a Packers win. I feel like there's going to be a bunch of people wanting to vent after this one, even though the Packers won. We'll see which way the fans take us today, Tommy Wirtz.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that this is a no room for vent game. The Packers, there was something all week talking about how this Packers team can run the football wherever they want. And I know Josh Jacobs gets banged up, but the Giants outrushed them in this game. The Packers rush defense might have been one of the biggest mistake stories at the beginning of the year. I think that their offense came out firing early on, and it'll made teams have to pass the ball
offense,
a whole lot more.
By the way, back at 27, like
anytime they hit 27, they're going to win the football game. It's unreal. And I think this Packers front four, Halfley again, just not trusting his guys, trust the Micah Parsons and Rashawn Gary to get home. And I don't think they do as much as we would like to see out of them. How many dropped interceptions are they going to have? Isaiah McDuffie's best play on pass defense was knocking it out of Javon Bullard's hands. Yep. I mean, this is unbelievable that they get one at the end because they had so many opportunities to get one earlier in the game, to take control. There was the big fourth down stop, and the Packers went three and out immediately after. We talked about that in the fourth quarter of this game, too. They just don't understand the situation, it feels like, ever. Both sides of the football. I can't see this Packers team ever capitalizing on the offensive side when they need to, or on the defensive side when they need to this season right now. Luckily, they did at the end of the game
Evan
with Christian
Williams.
Watson and Evan Williams.
Yeah.
But throughout the game, honestly, I don't see it as a Matt LaFleur problem even in this game. I see it as a personnel problem, and I don't think the team is all that good.
At the end of the game, Jameis Winston and the Giants were driving, having a chance to either tie or maybe go for two and win in the closing seconds, and this happened.
Winston fires. They have come close and close and close all day, and Matt LaFleur and Jeff Hafley's defense finally gets the takeaway they've been looking for.
Can I bring up another point?
Huge highlight courtesy of Fox, Drew Brees on his first game as an analyst.
Yeah, I mean, don't wear the scarf in your first game, Drew. But what I will say this. We were talking about how great the Packers are on third down, right? They were 7-for-11 yep. today. That was awesome. Who was it? Was it Dan Orlovsky talking about how putrid they are on second down? Or was it Ben Solak? It was one of the two, I believe. But this team never is trying to make a play happen unless it's on first or third down. That's the other problem at this team right now. Second down, they punt every time. They run the football every time. And I can't believe that they keep getting away with it. I'm frustrated with this team after today's game, even with a win.
My issue is you have that huge drive by the Giants there in the second half that ends up going nowhere because they end up turning it over, right? The Packers get the ball. They had the ball for what, like 7 or 8 minutes? It was like a 16-play drive. You hold them. They go at getting points. You come out third down. Watson chucks the ball down the field on third down. Doesn't complete it. And now you have to punt. So your defense is around the field the whole time. And you can't even get a first down to help your defense get some rest. Like, we start talking about decision making and so forth. That's where I have issue. Is in that moment, before you throw that ball, think to yourself, and maybe before you even snap that ball, it should be Matt LaFleur going, Jordan, get a first down here. We need to give our defense a little bit of a breather here. Don't play hero
ball. That was a drop. It was another drop.
I don't care if it was a drop or not. My point is, you just needed to get the first down and move the chains. You want to throw that ball on first down, to your point, go ahead, throw the ball on first down. Second down, fine. But third down, you got to get that first down considering they were just on the field forever. So now you go make that play, and yeah, it doesn't work with Watson, but regardless, now they're back on the field again. Instead of just taking the first down, moving the chains, throw your hero ball on first or second down and see what happens. Look, I
want to be critical of Jordan Love because I do think that maybe I was a little too excited at the beginning of the year. You have
He's good.
This was a terrible game for the wide receiver room. And as great as Christian Watson's play was at the end of the game, needs to come up with that football on third down in the play you're talking about.
Nicolay Law talking text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Scotty Tiffany says it's hard to be excited about this win against a 2-8 team without sarcasm. That's fair. But you also do have to realize that this team had lost 2 in a row itself. This offense had been struggling for 2 consecutive games, and they had a lot go wrong in this game, and were still able to come back and win. Now you get a Vikings game coming up on Sunday, and then the big matchup against Thanksgiving against the Lions. That Vikings offense with J.J. McCarthy looked putrid today against the Bears. Maybe it was the Bears, maybe it was the Vikings, who knows? But now you've got to get that next win as well next Sunday, whether it's pretty, ugly, or otherwise. And then that sets up for the big showdown at noon on Thanksgiving Day. That's what it's all about. A lot of chat messages coming in here as well on the Dugout Chat on YouTube. Again, you can stream us live on Twitter and YouTube. You can message either way on Twitter or YouTube by commenting at WI Sports Radio. KJ in West Allis, you're next here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show powered by Lakeland University. What's up, KJ?
Good afternoon, Sparky. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Tommy, you called it. You called it from the jump. They escaped. I was not impressed with this game at all by the Packers. Not on defense, not on offense. As you said, Tommy, the receiving core was terrible today. The defensive backs were horrible today. And look, the book is out on the Packers. You run the ball right down their throats between the tackles. And the Giants did it all day long.
With all due respect to the KJ, with all due respect to your book being out comment, I thought the book was out on how to play defense against the Packers, and they ran a bunch of man-to-man defense against the Packers. So I don't think there's a book out on anything. Everybody picks and chooses what they want to do.
Sparky, my point is they had no negative plays against the Giants' offense running the ball. None.
Oh, did the Giants have a lot of negative plays against the Packers' ground game?
Well, they didn't run the ball that much.
Oh, now you have an excuse for that side. I'm just saying, being consistent. No. Just be consistent,
look,
KJ.
I'm not going to be an apologist for the Packers.
I'm not. I'm just asking, was it the other way? Because you're saying it's on one side of the ball. So I'm just asking you, were they stubbing the Packers in the backfield consistently?
Well, I mean, look.
No. Okay.
Either way. You can answer the question for me if you want, or you can have me answer it for you.
Go ahead, KJ. Tell me.
They were not stopping the Packers, but yet when Jacobs went out, they were not running the ball consistently. They put the ball in Jordan Love's hands majority of the time in the second half. And the receivers were dropping the ball. Luckily, Christian Watson kind of rescued them, so to speak, today, or else they could have lost this game very easily. Very easily lost this game, Sparky. So, again, I'm not impressed with the win over the Giants. And like I said, the book is out on how to beat the Packers. You possess the ball, you keep it on the ground, and you don't throw silly passes like Jameis Winston did at the end of the game, and you can beat the Packers. Same way that Carolina did.
He threw them all game, KJ. They should have had four picks in this game. This wasn't that he, it wasn't that he threw one silly pass and was carving them the whole day. They made Jameis Winston, he could have been worse than what he was today by a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So should I be impressed with this win? No, I'm not. I'm not impressed at all, Sparky. Thanks for the call.
I didn't think you would be. Thanks for the call. Listen, I'm not stupid. I mean, we knew this coming in. Andy Herman said it during the week. Unless they blow him out, nobody's going to be happy about it. If it's a close game, regardless of what happens, people were not going to be happy and just take a win. And I'm not expecting you to be happy and just take a win. Like I said, there were a lot of bad things that happened in this game, but you overcame it and figured out a way to win the football game. There is something to that.
Can you label this victory as escaping with a win, like KJ just said?
It's fine.
Because I think if the Green Bay Packers would have not won in escaping fashion, that would change the mood of a lot of people.
No chance. If they only win by seven either way, but it doesn't change. Unless they would have won by like three touchdowns, Tommy, everybody would have been
mad. But they 100% escaped. They escaped from New York. There was a problem with the kicking department today. There's a problem with the run defense today. And on top of it, so they could have buried this team.
Devin
it's not
Singletary,
that they didn't. They could have.
Devin Singletary averaged 2.8 yards. 2.8. Got gashed the Packers with a 2.8 average. Tyrone Tracy averaged 4.5. That is a lot, no question. For the Green Bay Packers, Josh Jacobs averaged 5.7 yards per carry. Only 7 carries on the game. Understood, right? And then he left with that injury. And this is the other thing I was saying. I saw watching it on TV him grimacing after he came out. Remember, he went in the medical tent. Then he came back out on the field and continued to play. The very first handoff, you saw him through the face mask grimacing. They left him out there to play. I'm guessing because he said, I'm fine, don't worry about me, as he's grimacing play after play after play. Then finally he came out because he couldn't handle the pain anymore and then was out for the rest of the game. Probably never should have went back out there to begin with. No surprise there. Then Emmanuel Wilson, 11 carries, 40 yards, 3.6 yards per carry, and one touchdown. They ran it a lot. Yes. Tyrone Tracy, 19 for 88, 4.6 yards. That's too much. I'll agree. Devin Singletary, 16 for 44, 2.8 yards. Winston had 3 carries for 3 yards, or 3.3 yard average, 3 for 10 yards. To say that they were getting gashed and so forth, not necessarily the case. But they were getting yards when they needed to get yards to keep the Packers' defense off balance. Absolutely. And I promise you, Matt LaFleur is jealous of that game plan. Because if it was up to Matt LaFleur, I'm sure he'd love to run the ball 37 times or whatever it ended up being. Yeah, 35 times like the Giants did. That's exactly, I'm sure, how the Packers would want to play offense if he could. Let's go to Justin in North Carolina. You're next here on the Nicolay Law Talk and Text Line. What's up, Justin?
Yo, my guys, man. Hey, first of all, Emmanuel Wilson out of the CIAA Championship, Johnson C. Smith Bulldogs. Great. Hey, look, man, I'm a little bit more positive. I think the kid Tracy, he ran the ball well. I think Jameis Winston, this is who he's been his entire career.
Correct.
He can make some of these mid throws and get the ball down the field, and he's going to throw you a couple. And like your guys used to work with, Sparky, he'd throw you, what, 2 or 3? And we got to remember, do I feel like the Super Bowl flag is going to come out by the Green Bay Packers' win today? No, maybe not. But how different would this be had they lost that ball game? It's good to win. We've lost so many close games. So I get it why a lot of people are frustrated and stuff like that. But I thought Jordan Love had a good game. I thought Emmanuel Wilson played good for Jacobs when he went out of the game. And the New York Giants had a great game plan, and those guys stepped up. Their tight ends and their wide receivers made a lot of good plays. 89 caught everything that was thrown to him, and Jameis hit him at the right time. He's a veteran quarterback. So, solid win to me. Is it the best win in the world? No, but it's something to build on. It's a lot better than listening to the fan all week had they lost and worrying about, you know, folks like myself off the I-540 bridge, right?
Mm-hmm. Don't worry. People will be jumping off the bridge tomorrow regardless because Tommy will be leading the way for him to jump. So don't you worry, Justin. You are still going to have to deal like they lost tomorrow. Appreciate the call. That's exactly what's going to happen here on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. I'm telling you right now, people in Wausau listening on the game, people in Duluth Superior listening on the game, people on WNFL in Green Bay, Everybody, they win, and I promise you that tomorrow there will be a negative tone to every show that you listen to on the Wisconsin Sports
it
Network.
It didn't have to
almost
be.
Almost a sports radio
it
network.
It didn't have to Tell be. Me. It is the Packers' fault. They should have made Jameis look terrible. They could have made Jordan Love look much better today. This is Green Bay's fault that they did not cover the spread, that they did not look more impressive.
About the stupid spread.
I'm telling you that this team dropped 7 passes on offense and 5 passes on defense. They could have absolutely capitalized and brought a little bit more joy to a Packer fan base that has been nothing but negative over the last 2 weeks, and they just refused to capitalize.
All right, let's get to some of the messages as well on YouTube and Twitter coming up next. Plus, room for your calls and your text messages and your tweets as well. Follow us on social media at WI Sports Radio, streaming live on YouTube and on X. Green Bay Football Postgame Show, powered by Lakeland University. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Tommy Wirtz over there as we broadcast live from Wisconsin Sports Radio Network Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Packers get the win, believe it or not, 27-20.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome in. It is Green Bay Football Postgame Show, powered by Lakeland University. Packers win 27-20. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here with you. Tommy Wirtz, other side of the glass. One guy, I say, played pretty well. Couple touchdowns, including this one.
Ball with a high snap. Floats it. Wants it up top. It is caught! Touchdown, Packers! Green Bay's got the lead!
I'll tell you what, everything about that was top-notch, from the throw to the catch. Tough snap. Jordan Love is able to handle that. He's throwing to the field. He likes his matchup with Christian Watson, but especially throwing into that corner. I mean, that's basically dead in the teeth of the wind. He cuts it right through the wind. He loves it. That's what I'm talking about. But Christian Watson has been their big play guy, great at making plays above his head. But now you see him going for two, trying to make this a 7-point game.
Well, you probably go for it for two regardless of the wind conditions today here to try to go up a touchdown and a point after. Love dancing, floating in, and it is held on to two by Wilson.
So those two highlights, the touchdown, the two-point conversion, courtesy of Fox, as the Packers win 27-20. Got a bunch of talk and text line, text messages coming in. Always open for you as well. If you want to vent, if you want to yell and scream about a Packers win, feel free. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Got one here from the 208. The point is, you can run on the Packers D. The book is out. So I was like, oh, okay, well, the book is out. Fine. Let's go back and let's look at player stats and see if the book is out. Saquon Barkley ran for 60 yards and averaged 2.7 yards per carry against the Green Bay Packers in their game for Philadelphia. I believe that was last week. Now, obviously, Rico Dowdell, they ran for over 130 yards. Okay, no question there. They had a big game, and you're right. They ran all over the Green Bay Packers in that one. The Steelers game, Jalen Warren, 13 for 62 yards for the Pittsburgh Steelers in that one. We'll continue to go back. Let's go back to the Cardinals game, and let's see what the Cardinals did. 14 for 57 yards for Bam Knight for the Arizona Cardinals. That was the leading rusher in that one. Let's go back to the Bengals game, and let's see what happened there. I was at that game. Chase Brown, 9 for 42 yards for the Cincinnati Bengals in that one. I mean, you're right. They are absolutely getting killed on the ground. Let's go to the Dallas Cowboys game now. Oh, look, Javonte Williams. He almost got to 100. 20 for 85, averaged 4 yards. Per carry, 4.2. And the Cowboys scored 40 points in that game, and you still didn't have over 100-yard rusher in that game for the Cowboys. Let's see here. Where are we going next? Oh, the Browns game. They lost that game 13-10 to the Cleveland Browns. Let's see, for the Cleveland Browns, not a 100-yard rusher there either. Judkins did have a big game, though, 18 for 94, so he did average over 5 yards per carry. So that's pretty much a majority of what we saw this year against the Green Bay Packers.
What are the team totals, though?
You mean team standings?
No, I'm talking about the team rushing numbers. You can't just say, oh, one guy didn't do anything. They got outrushed today by the Giants, and the entire week it was how terrible the rushing defense is for the Giants. I understand rushing, Josh Jacobs went
rushing
down.
Defense.
Yes, and they got outrushed today because they shouldn't have. They should have absolutely rushed for more yards.
So you're mad at the Packers running game. You're not mad at the Packers run defense.
I am mad at the Packers run defense.
Well, then why do we care about the Giants rush defense if we're talking about the Packers rush defense?
Because I'm saying that they should have absolutely ran for more yards this week than the Giants did.
So then you're mad at the Packers offense.
I'm mad at both. Yes, absolutely I am. What are you pointing at today that you were like, that was good?
No, I'm not pointing at anything that was necessarily good at this point. But just this is my
thing. You can't selectively say they haven't given up a 100-yard rusher when they're getting outrushed
by
teams.
They did. Rico Dowdell got over 100 yards. Yes, he did. 142 yards to 128 yards.
Yeah.
That was the total rushing numbers. So you want to put in the quarterbacks running the football and all of that into total rushing yards, right?
Yes.
So if Malik Heath gets out and runs for 5 yards, that should count. I don't give a crap about that. Unless it's a quarterback. But a lot of times they're not designed runs. It's Jameis Winston. It's Jameis Winston on a broken play running upfield. Jordan Love on a broken play running upfield.
Jameis Winston got 10 yards on a QB sneak today.
Yes, okay. One play, correct. And that was stupid. I agree with you. Right? Drew Brees is like, that must be a record on a quarterback sneak. I don't know. I guess I'm not as worked up over it as everybody else is about this rush defense being all that bad. It doesn't concern me really nearly as much as it does y'all. Listen, you scored 27 points in a game you're supposed to win. They won. They scored 27 points in a game despite having, what, 7 or 8 drop passes by their offense,
yep,
by their offensive line not being very good for most of this game and getting blown up inside.
Yep.
So you overcame all of that. I don't know, man. I'm pretty happy with how this whole thing turned out, considering, again, a lot of what went wrong. Now, next week is the Minnesota Vikings. Will they play better next week, or will the drops continue? If the drops continue, then yeah, eventually it's going to catch up to them. It's going to burn them. But this is really the first game all year where you had a ton of drops in a game that the Packers had to deal with.
Yeah, and I also am happy that the Green Bay Packers won the football game today. But when I point to where should I look for my cause of happiness, I'm struggling.
You liked Jordan Love.
I do like Jordan Love.
So there's your cause of happiness.
Well,
I helped you.
Jordan Love still needs to play better, and this wide receiver room really made his day look much worse than it actually was. I think two things can be true, but I'm looking at where this team missed so many opportunities, and yes, they escape with a victory over the New York Giants, but They should have dominated this game. And you cannot let opportunities like that go away when you are playing divisional opponents or playoff contenders or Super Bowl contenders all season long. The Giants are a dumpster fire organization, and they have been for a long time. They rock out there with a quarterback who hasn't had a starting job in 5 years and a brand new head coach who's never coached a football game,
Kafka.
And they still don't have moments of impressive.
There was a person on the station, I couldn't remember who it was. Somebody said something about a new coach bump going into this game that could happen. Who said that?
Everyone plus me, yeah.
You said it though, right?
Absolutely.
And now you're mad about it? Because you said it was going to happen, that they would be inspired and ready to play for Kafka? Didn't you call
And they looked
this?
Inspired. They looked inspired a Giants team.
Like you said it was going to happen.
Yes, and I wanted Green Bay to combat that.
They did. They won.
I will say that I don't believe that I found myself yelling at Matt LaFleur very much today.
Other than when Matt LaFleur couldn't get a play call in 9 out of every 10 times. And they were breaking the huddle with 10 seconds to go on a regular basis.
Yes.
That is on LaFleur. The one time they got to the line, there was like 3 seconds left, like timeout. I can't even get set. And the camera goes to LaFleur, and LaFleur literally is talking to himself, and he's like, call the damn play, Matt. He was mad at himself because he was so indecisive, it appeared, because of how long it was taking the Packers to get out of the huddle, in getting plays into Jordan Love. It was giving him less time at the line of scrimmage to dissect what was going on in front of him and get guys in play. So if you want to be mad, yeah, you can be mad at LaFleur for that. The kicking fiasco, a majority of y'all wanted this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to hear boo out of majority of y'all, because most of y'all wanted McManus cut. Most of y'all put the other guy in. This guy's awful. I don't care that he's hurt. He sucks. When they said he was listed as doubtful yesterday, I laughed. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This last week, during the broadcast, McManus said this was the healthiest he had felt all year. And the next game, he's doubtful now all of a sudden? After LaFleur said all week he was kicking well in practice?
Yep.
That was a joke. So I laughed at that one. I said, okay, cool. Let's see what happens. And what happened? You put him into swirling wind conditions and everything else that wasn't going to let him play nearly as well as maybe he could have played. And it was a complete fiasco out there kicking the football.
And
Malik Heath apparently is in the doghouse. I don't know what he did.
Yeah,
he got left behind on the trip. Didn't even make the trip to New York because he got told to stay home. So he irritated somebody.
And I still think that the kicking game is not even near the top of my list. It might be top 3-4 conversations that need to have about fiascos with this team, in my opinion. It's not above the O-line or the wide receiver room. It's not. And it might not be above the cornerback room. It's not above that either.
What's it about?
I'm saying those three issues are much bigger issues than the kicking game, and look at how terrible the kicking game looked today.
The only issue I have is this offensive line has to get better.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're going to drop 7 balls in another game this year, or at least they better not. The offensive line is my concern. If we're going to talk about where are your concerns, Sparky, after this game, the offensive line is.
Absolutely.
But guess what? We talked about this during the week, that the Giants got a bunch of studs that can get after the quarterback. This wasn't breaking news either. DeMarcus Lawrence, he's been pretty good in his NFL career. It's happened. Abdul Carter, they drafted him at the top of the draft for a reason. What did I call him?
You called him DeMarcus, also an NFL player.
Sorry,
who was really good.
Dexter Lawrence.
Yes.
But Dexter Lawrence has been pretty good too. Not DeMarcus Lawrence, but still. They had problems up front. And they had problems why? Because Jordan Morgan, who was a horrible draft pick, like I said when they drafted him, can't play guard. They knew he couldn't play guard in training camp, and that's why they were going to have him at tackle, because he knew he struggled. Meanwhile, you've got Belton. Somebody explain to me why he can't get on the field. There's no way he's worse than Morgan. On the one play, Morgan went inside to help the center while the other guard was helping the center. They had 3 dudes on one, and the other defensive tackle went right up the middle, untouched, because Morgan blocked the wrong guy.
Meanwhile, John Runyon looked like a dog for the Giants today at guard, by the way. In case you missed that, he was pushing them back every time.
Yeah. For me, that is the biggest thing for me is offensive line play has to get better. The drops by the DBs, obviously you want to see that change. Obviously you want to create turnovers. I get down with that. I hear that. I just think that and the wide receiver drops was just a culmination of maybe everything going wrong in the same game.
And the defensive drops.
Do we think? Yeah, the interceptions and then the wide receiver drops. Right. I just don't. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you'll yell at me later in the year and be like, it happened again, Spark. Yeah, I thought you said it wouldn't happen again. I just don't think you're going to have 7-8 drops in another football game the rest of the year. And if you do, then you're really going to have issues to talk about. I think that's an outlier. And then the issue with the cornerbacks dropping balls left and right also, I'm hoping, is an outlier at this point. All right, let's get some of the message on YouTube and X. You can live stream us there. Message along at WI Sports Radio. You can also dial it up on the Nicolay Law Talking text line, 414-677-1250. Sparky here with you along with Tommy Wirtz. Packers win 27-20. What do you got?
Let's go to Jeff right away. Got to give some credit to Malik Willis coming in clutch today. Yep. I think that his drive when he had the 16-yard run and the touchdown, both massive today for Green Bay, and then ends up being the difference as well. Rainbow Trout, if a team needs a big conversion, throw at Keyshawn Nixon. It was a rough day for Keyshawn, too. It did feel like he was getting torched the entire time. Beat a bad team, a lot to fix as they head into a streak of three divisional opponents in a row in 14 days. That comes from Reign of C as well. And I think that that's something that I really want to try to hit home to, Sparky, is that I am not rooting for this team to play bad or look bad. And I care so much about this Packers team that if they want to be taken seriously, they need to capitalize more within the first snap of the game and the last snap of the game.
Yeah, I think everybody would agree with you on that. Packers win 27-20 over the New York Giants. Green Bay Football postgame show powered by Lakeland University, live from Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Sparky with you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Drop back. Wide open, man. It's the tight end, Josh Whiley. His second game with the Packers, and he's got the touchdown to give them the lead.
Highlight courtesy of Fox. Josh Whiley making a name for himself in his first game there with the Green Bay Packers. Sparky here. Tommy Wirtz over there. Packers win 27-20 over the New York Giants in New York. Green Bay football postgame show powered by Lakeland University, live from Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Lots of frustration, anger, disappointment boiling up in Packer Nation today. after way too many drop passes, 5 1/2 in the first half. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Brutal.
Lots of dropped interceptions to go along with that, too. And there's lots of plays. Like, Edgerrin Cooper had to do dead to rights in the backfield and just swung off of him and missed, and dude ends up getting a first down. There's so many instances in this game that you can point to and just shake your head like, oh my goodness, like, that's a horrible play. That's a horrible play. That's a horrible play. And then your kicker is atrocious as well. And again, swirling winds. They kept showing how strong the wind was, whatever. So maybe that's the out for Haversick, but either way, a lot of things went wrong in this game for the Packers, and they still won 27-20. Let's go to Justin in Oconomowoc. You're next on the Nicolay Law Talk and Text Line. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Sparky. So I called in on Friday talking about how I need to see more consistency out of the offense over the next few weeks to really give me more confidence.
Yep.
And you calculate the 7 drops. I mean, outside of that, I feel like they did something today. They scored points, which is fantastic. This is what we want. Like you were saying, Mike, big concerns, obviously the offensive line, right? And then my other concern, which I don't know if you talked about this, I got you on late. Why are they breaking the huddle with less than 12 seconds?
Yep, I did talk about this. So this is on the floor 1,000%. In fact, the play where they had to burn that timeout later in the game, because Love got to the line with like 3 seconds to go or whatever, the camera panned to LaFleur, and you saw LaFleur just say, "Just call the play, Matt," literally is what he was screaming to himself as he was walking down the sidelines. So I'm pretty sure most of that was on the floor for simply not having the play ready to go when they needed it.
Don't most coaches have like 2 plays ready to go for the next play, depending on what happens with the play they just called, so they can get a play in rather than waiting until the play happens to make a play call? That's more infuriating to me than anything, because we're getting to the line with 4 seconds left. He can't do anything.
Correct.
You've got to call the play that's called in. He can't even look at what the defense is doing.
Correct. 1,000%. Yes. So
that's frustrating.
Yes, absolutely it is. I totally agree. I said that earlier. Justin, thanks for the call. Absolutely it is. That's on LaFleur. LaFleur can't blame Stanovich. He can't blame anybody else on his coaching staff. You're the dude calling the plays. And again, when people go about, no, he should give up play calling and so forth. Well, dude, if you can't figure out a play call sooner or quicker than that, then maybe there should be a conversation about somebody else calling plays. I think he's a good play caller, but you have got to be quicker getting the play into Jordan Love to get to the line of scrimmage and then decide what he's going to do, to look over the defense and so forth. I also understand that there's probably frustration built in. You saw some emotion out of Jordan Love today, built into Jordan Love and built into Matt LaFleur with all these damn drops that keep happening. I'm sure there was some of that, right? So he's like, okay, this play's going to work, and then I'm going to do this. And then, boink, off Romeo Doubs' hands it goes.
Yep.
Ah, crap. Now I got to come back and do something different than what I was planning on doing. So, and I'm sure I've not heard LaFleur, but I'm guessing it's going to be, hey, man, with all these drop passes, it's hard to get into a rhythm every time I think something's going to work, and it did work, and then we can't execute it.
Well, and that's one notch in Jordan Love's cap, where he had opportunities to convert, and Romeo Doubs let him down, and Christian Watson let him down, but he continued to go back to these guys because he knows he can trust them. Yep. However, 4 targets for your rookies in Savion Williams and Matthew Golden. That's all they had today. And Savion comes up with maybe the catch of the day if it's not Christian Watson's touchdown. And Matthew Golden, a big play as well, too. And drew a pass interference that was crucial in this game. And yet, they still continue to just leave these guys in the dust and do not drop anything creative for them.
Another 3rd and long for Green Bay. 5th body coming for the Giants. Pressure. Love with time. Waving receivers around. Off the back foot. He launches it downfield. And it's caught by Savion Williams. The rookie comes up huge on 3rd and long.
That was Toyotathon stuff right there. Because Toyotathon started this week. That was Toyotathon stuff. Because literally when he threw that, I was like, oh no, it's going to be a pick. What, like, I mean, because again, like he said off back foot, it was just chucking up. I was like, oh my God, he did it again.
That was a big throw. That was
huge,
a talented throw.
Yes,
and
it was.
And I
yes.
thought the Christian Watson throw was one of the best throws of the season for this team.
The one
too.
He dropped?
No, well, that was a good
that was
one
a
too.
Damn good throw.
That was a great throw, but I'm talking about the touchdown, trying to be on a more positive note
two
for you here.
By the way,
but
2 defenders.
Just this Packers team, a joke right now on what they don't capitalize on.
All All right, it is the Green Bay Football postgame show powered by Lakeland University. The Packers come up victorious today, 27-20, as we broadcast live from Wisconsin Sports Radio Network Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Coming up next hour, we'll hear from Matt LaFleur, and we'll hear from Jordan Love.
Show them what time it is!
The game is over. What went right and what went wrong? It's time for the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, brought to you by Lakeland University. Experience it your way. Visit lakeland.edu. Let's get to your hosts of the show, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Tommy Wirtz, on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Packers win! Packers win! Yeehaw! The Packers win 27-20 on the road in a hostile environment in New York against the Giants. They never even went to the silent count. Giants fans that were there weren't even really getting it loud at all. There were Packer fans everywhere. So, that was quite funny. Packers 27-20 over the New York Giants. Sparky with you. Tommy Wirtz over there as we broadcast live from Wisconsin Sports Radio Network Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Nicolay Law, talk and text line open for you as always, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. On the text line from earlier on the 414, Schlitz Hat Patrick here. This game is why I need to self-medicate with tall, cold ones. The line, the drops, and the freaking penalties. Yet, here we are, and let's go. Right. Packers win. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. 262, do you think the pass interference call for the Packers on their first scoring drive was correctly called? It's the real difference in the game. It's impossible to be a good DB in today's NFL.
I actually thought the Isaiah McDuffie, I know he never turned his head on his pass interference call.
And the tight end had him on his, holding him on his back.
Right. But I kind of thought that was not necessarily pass interference on Green Bay. So if they're talking about the one on Matthew Golden where he ran into Matthew Golden, I thought that was more pass interference than the Isaiah McDuffie one was.
Well, I mean, in fairness, Golden was trying to fight back for the ball because it was underthrown by Love.
Yeah.
The DB ran into him, then turned his head after he ran into him. Drew Brees is like, well, you got to turn your head. He did, but it wasn't until after he ran into him to find the ball.
Right, and that's why Mike McDuffie ends up getting called for his, because he never turned his head, but he didn't really make contact with him. It was the tight end making contact with McDuffie by grabbing him, trying to go around him.
A guy, Tommy Wirtz, was telling me that Malik Willis popular in the Matt LaFleur presser. So I like, you know what, we should talk about Malik Willis a little bit more. So first off, Malik Willis does stuff, if we're being honest, does stuff that maybe you don't necessarily see all the time one way or the other when you have Jordan Love in the football game and doing his thing, right? It's okay that that's the case, but with Malik Willis, somebody was texting me earlier about, hey, man, or no, it was you, Tommy, about the offensive line, you know, not necessarily protecting maybe as well for Jordan Love as it was for Malik Willis, but it was because of plays like this.
Third and eight. He's going to keep it. He's got this element to his game, and there goes Malik Willis for a first down into the New York red zone. Impact play by Malik Willis, who's averaged better than 5.5 yards a carry for his young NFL career.
That was for 16 yards on a 3rd and 8.
Yeah.
You can't, ask Jeff Hafley, because this is how he plays mobile quarterbacks, you can bring the same pressure when you have the threat of the guy going upfield 20, 30 yards if you miss.
How many?
So you have to play it differently, and it takes pressure off the offensive line.
I mean, you had a guest virtually every day of Wisconsin Sports Daily, which you can hear 2 to 5 every weekday.
I had no guests on Thursday, thank you.
Okay, virtually was the word I used before. But all of the guests you had on, I feel like you brought up the same conversation of why did they abandon play action pass, right?
Yeah, they that ran was it a heavy coming out today.
Huge topic for you. I think the first completion on a play action pass today came with Malik Willis. Didn't come with Jordan Love.
And Drew Brees on the one play action pass goes, look, they've run play action, what is it, 3 straight times, 4 straight times? And as you can see here, none of the receivers are getting open, is what he said.
Yeah, and the offensive line cannot hold long enough on play action, it looks like, either. That's the problem. I think that the problem with play action is the offensive line and the wide receivers. I don't think it's a Jordan Love or a Matt LaFleur comment. at all. And maybe it might even be a kudos to Matt LaFleur for not calling it more with how terrible those two units have been playing.
I think you just have to continue to hammer it home. I'm not changing my opinion on that. 262 says, let's see, the point is you can run. Oh, no, that's an old one. I'm sorry. I should read these ahead of time. Back to Malik Willis. So I was looking at Malik Willis's contract. $1.1 million base salary this year. Malik Willis is a free agent after this year. He's 26 years old only. Not old. 26 years old, so he'll be 27 in 2026. So I was like, okay, so what type of money are backup quarterbacks in the NFL making this year? Just to kind of see where everybody's at. Tyrod Taylor is making $6 million as a backup in New York with the Jets. He's your highest paid backup. I mean, I guess you can include Kirk Cousins, who is the highest paid quarterback in football right now at $27.5 million when you talk about base salary for this year. But Tyrod Taylor, $6 million in base salary this year. Other backup quarterbacks, Jacoby Brissett, $3 million. Kenny Pickett, $2.6 million. Trubisky, $2.5 million. Do you go to Malik Willis and go, hey, dog, give you $5 million a year for 3 years, three at 15 to stay in Green Bay and be the backup quarterback to Jordan Love, or three at $12 million, maybe you go $4 million a year, something like that? Or do you think Malik Willis goes, no, I think I can get a starting quarterback job. I'm out.
I wonder where he would have that opportunity to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
That's my thing.
I don't know. I don't know where it works, because I do believe that he's coming up on his free agency at the wrong time right now, because I do think he could have an opportunity to be a guy, but I look at Cleveland maybe, but they just got Dylan Gabriel. He's only a third rounder, so I don't think they're married to him next year, but as bad as Cam Ward has looked in Tennessee, it seems like you got to go 2 years on the number one overall pick at least, right? Bryce Young just went for 400 yards today for the Carolina Panthers.
Panther fans are killing Bryce Young and the Panthers offense for not doing anything in the second half, which is hilarious.
The Atlanta Falcons are going to rock with Michael Penix. The Raiders just signed Geno Smith. I don't know where his opportunity comes, because the Giants are going to rock with Jackson Dart next year as well in the same opportunities that he's getting this year. I think that we would have been excited last year if the Packers would have made Malik Willis the highest paid backup other than Kirk Cousins in the NFL. Sure. And to have an opportunity like that today for him, where he comes in, makes a huge play on the rushing yards, throws for a passing touchdown today, I would absolutely give Malik Willis the second highest paid backup quarterback role right now.
I think I would definitely consider it. Now, again, he may not want to do that. But again, when Jordan Love went down today after he took that hit, and again, he didn't slide. The one time he did slide today, the dude hit him, and they didn't throw the damn flag.
I think he did miss him. It looked like it on the replay that the arm might have came like close to hitting the helmet, but it was not helmet to helmet.
Love sat up, was like, "Where's the flag?"
Yeah, I'm in.
That's what
NFL players do. They're looking for flags.
I understand. Just like NBA players are looking for whistles. Yep. That's no different. Speaking of Jordan Love, let's hear what Jordan Love had to say after today's game. And I'm assuming there won't be a lot of questions about Malik Willis and the Jordan Love presser. I could be wrong. Did you hear what he said?
What do you want me to hear?
Asked about the injury.
Mm-hmm.
Thought I was good enough to go back in. Then said it is an injury and we'll reevaluate it when we go back. I really hope, for everybody's sake, and y'all can love Malik Willis all you like, and that's fine. But I'm telling you right now, if this dude can't play and if he's out for any apparent amount of time after this, that is not good news for the Green Bay Packers as far as making a Super Bowl run or anything of the sort. Like, they need to have Jordan Love out there. Now, the fact that he was able to go out there and play is great, but you and I both have seen people go out there and play for 2-3 plays after they get hurt or whatever. Like Josh Jacobs, he was hurt. They put him in the tent. They sent him back out there. I can play. And he's grimacing like after every run. And then eventually, I can't do it no more. I'm out. And then they go back, check his knee for whatever it may be, and he doesn't come back out on the field. And they send Jordan Love back out there too. And again, non-throwing shoulder. If that's a throwing shoulder, then maybe they act a little bit differently. Non-throwing shoulder. But still, if it's we'll see what it is. But if it's anything that could be worse, by taking a shot in that left shoulder, it could create even more pain going forward. They're going to have to make a decision on what they want to do.
Could you imagine if, hypothetically, this was a long-term injury and Malik Willis had a long run in the postseason, and the Packers make a decision to rock with Malik Willis. Like, how many teams would give up their starting quarterback now for Malik Willis? But how many teams would give up their starting quarterback for Jordan Love? Way more teams. Way more.
I don't know. You're saying if the Packers want to win a Super Bowl with Malik Willis?
Yeah, I mean, this is, yeah, and I'm not calling for Malik Willis, but I was just thinking of this hypothetical on I'm struggling to find the teams based on their quarterback situation now that would give Malik Willis a chance, but
most
I think
of the
that,
quarterbacks in this league would take Jordan. Most of the teams would take Jordan Love.
Yeah, I think that, that's the same thing. Like
pretty
a
sure
lot
the Vikings would after watching J.J. McCarthy.
Right, right. I completely agree. So, but I don't think they would give Malik Willis a shot next year.
If he wins a Super Bowl?
Well,
I don't know about
if
all
he
that,
won a, if he
I'm
went,
just saying. I don't know.
If he went out and won a Super Bowl.
And then he goes into free agency. You no. were just talking about how it's bad timing.
Might be great timing if there's an injury.
Let's just hope he's not hurt. Seriously, please.
No.
Moving on with Jordan Love. Can we talk about this for a second, Josh Jacobs? Because we still don't know how long he's going to be out for. I'm assuming it'll take a day or two before we find out about Josh Jacobs. With that being said, as good as Josh Jacobs is, am I wrong to think it's not going to be as big of a deal as maybe people will look at it to be?
Oh, I completely agree with it. You know me, I'm Emmanuel Wilson's number one fan. So I have no issue rocking out there, giving him a full game's worth of carries to see what he can do, because every time it seems like his number is called upon, he's not disappointing, at yeah. least, right? And there's been multiple times where I have been disappointed in the play of Josh Jacobs this season and at moments too. So, yeah, I mean, as great as Josh Jacobs is for that locker room, that's his best trait right now for this Packers team is leadership. And it is something that Green Bay seems to be struggling with at some point this season too, and it's nice to rely on Josh Jacobs for that leadership. But as far as play on the field, no, I'm not really worried about it, to be honest.
On the chat, YouTube, and X chat, you can watch us on live stream at WI Sports Radio, Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff. Timothy says, did you see the hug LaFleur gave Parsons at the end of the game like a child embracing Santa? Ha, ha, ha. I've never seen Santa. 27-20, Packers lose to the New York Giants.
Was that a play so on Christmas? You love Christmas more than anyone else.
Never seen him put presents under my tree. Green Bay football postgame show powered by Lakeland University as we broadcast live from Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur. We'll hear from players inside the locker room. Ryan Wood, the Green Bay Press Gazette, Packers beat writer, will join us as well. Still room for more of your calls and text messages as too. Nicolay Law, talking text line 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Packers win, baby! They win! Whether you want to admit it to yourself or not, 27-20.
Winston fires. Edson off target! Picked off! It's Evan Williams with the interception! They have come close and close and close all day, and Matt LaFleur and Jeff Hafley's defense finally gets the takeaway they've been looking for.
Packers win 27-20. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show powered by Lakeland University, live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Sparky with you. Tommy Wirtz, other side of the glass. And now we got to talk to this dude.
What happened in today's game? It's time to go inside the locker room with Packers beat writer Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Joining us now, he is the aforementioned Ryan Wood. Follow him on X by Ryan Wood in New York. Ryan, the Packers won. You'd think they lost based on fan reaction.
If you consider a season kind of like a round of golf, this would be a lot easier. It'll be perfect to match up when they go to 18-game schedules. But let's say each week is a hole, right,
sure.
in a round of golf. This is a par. There's nothing wrong with the par. You got to hit a par sometimes. It's certainly not a birdie. There's no birdies out there. It's not a bogey. It's just a par. Like, they needed a win. They got a win. They did not look good. This is not a great football team right now, the Packers. And there's a whole lot that they have to be better at if they're going to start shooting birdies. But it's a par for now. And there's nothing wrong with the par in the middle of the season.
But it's how they got the par is what people are mad about, right? You hit it. You sliced the crap out of the first one. You hit the second one into the sand trap. The third one came up just short, and then you put it in to get that par. They weren't pretty shots to get to the par, but you got to the par at the end of the day. I mean, you,
no, they scrambled.
They had five drops by their wide receivers in the first half. Like, five drops in a game is bad. To do it in a half of football is insanity.
They had four drops by their DBs, right?
Yeah, that too. 11
Williams, finally, fifth time's the charm. Literally, they were 0-for-4 on Jameis Winston presence gifts until Evan Williams came down with it, finally. Yeah, the drops are terrible, and I get it. Like, the wind is hellacious out there. At one point during the middle of the game, I looked at my weather app and said, consistent 17-mile-an-hour winds with gusts of 34-mile-an-hour. Sparky, when I walked into the stadium today, I had to get a second credential because from the parking lot, the wind ripped the first credential away. It was a hellacious day for anyone that's trying to track the movement of a football, but you still have to make those catches. I asked Christian Watson if he even noticed the wind. Like, what did the wind do on that second touchdown catch? You only say, I couldn't tell you, wasn't focused on it. That's exactly how you deal with it. Like, you got to zone out and make a play. And I think for this Packers offense, it is high time to make targets a meritocracy. I understand you want to scheme guys open, and I understand Romeo Doubs gets open a lot. But if Romeo Doubs getting open a lot and dropping three passes in a game, you got to go to somebody else. You can't live with these kind of mental issues, focus issues, mistakes that are self-inflicted week in and week out. You have to make it a meritocracy and throw the ball to guys you trust to make a tight corner to catch in the corner of the end zone. Like, it's past time to do that.
I don't disagree with you on that at all. The other thing that was driving me nuts throughout this game was how late it was taking them to break the huddle and get up to the line of scrimmage. I mean, Jordan Love was getting up to the line of scrimmage regularly with like 9 or 10 seconds left, maybe. And then the play where they had to call the timeout because, again, he got up there even with less time than that. The TV camera goes to LaFleur on the sidelines, and you see LaFleur put his head down as he's walking on the sidelines and says, just call the damn play, Matt, because he was mad at himself for not getting the play in on time to Jordan Love. That type of stuff can't happen. If you're going to be the play caller and the head coach, you have got to have a play ready as soon as that play is over previously.
It just feels like the Packers offense is trying to do too much. They're trying to get the ball to too many people. I don't know how many people had a target today. Last I checked, it was like, what, 9? They're running in different personnel groupings damn near every play. And sometimes if you're doing a lot, less is more. Like just do a little less. Focus on what do you do well. Not even what you do well. What do you do best? What is your best stuff? And just whittle it down to that and focus on that relentlessly and make the defense have to stop that. Instead of trying to do everything and try to just spread everything out and do it all at once, just whittle it down. It's an operation. It's an offense that's just trying to do too much, Sparky.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Tommy's favorite player, Malik Willis. I'm being sarcastic. Tommy was so bad listening to the Matt LaFleur presser. He's like, why are we asking all these questions about Malik Willis for? Talk about the drops. But Malik Willis gets his opportunity there and scores a touchdown and looks good doing it. The ability to run with the football too. And him and I were talking about this earlier, which is, you know, that dude's going into a free agent year. The highest paid backup, if you take Kirk Cousins out of the situation, it's Tyrod Taylor at like $6 million. Like, is there a world where the Packers go at him with like 3 at 15 or 3 at 12 to keep him around?
You know, that's a question for the offseason. I haven't looked at the cap situation near enough to know if that can work or not. I know it's
dire straits. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know how to make that work. But Tommy, they won a game today because Malik Willis. Worth being asked about.
See that?
No, they did not win a game because of Malik
Willis.
They won a game because the Giants are garbage. That's why they won the game today. Malik Willis kept them on track. Absolutely. Ryan, what does this offense do well? If they got to focus on what they do best, what do they do best?
First of all, two things can be true at once. The Giants are garbage, and they won a game because Malik Willis came
okay,
in
okay,
and
fine,
finished the touchdown
fine,
drive.
Fine.
And that's why you don't trade him before the season, because
fine,
if you're a team with Super Bowl expectations, you do not trade a backup quarterback that you can win with and can finish a touchdown.
That's what anyway, the Chiefs are thinking, too. It's like, well, we can't get rid of Mahomes' backup. You know, Josh Allen can't get rid of his backup. That's what Super Bowl teams think of, Ryan.
And there's a reason for that. There's merit in that, Tommy. I hate backup quarterbacks bubble, but it's real. All right.
Okay.
All right. So what do they do? That's much much more difficult. I thought that Josh Jacobs was certainly on his way to having the type of run game that you expected against this terrible Giants run defense until the knee injury. That's going to be something. I don't know if Matt LaFleur mentioned it. By that time, I was in the locker room, so I haven't heard those comments yet, but that's going to certainly be a concern. They have not run the football well. They have not been near efficient enough in the passing game. And while I do think the self-inflicted things are the number one thing that they have to, that's where you start to fix this offense, those other reasons are why that's not just self-inflicted. Like, they have to execute both areas of offense better. No question about it. They need to protect better. They need to run block better. They need to throw the ball more efficiently. And today, again, Jordan Love, 6 of 13 in the first half of those 7 incompletions, 5 were dropped.
Yep.
And a 6 was batted at the line of scrimmage to a wide-open Josh Jacobs. I don't really know what else he should do there, but they have to be more efficient. And then you've got to maximize the run game. It's not a lot that they do well, but within that, and Matt LaFleur's got to figure out what is it that he is most confident in, what is it that he feels like this personnel, like throwing the ball to Christian Watson, just like good things happen to Tucker Kraft, good things happen when he threw the ball to Tucker Kraft, good things happen when you throw the ball to Christian Watson. You got to throw it to him more. What do you have, 5 targets a day? He could go double that easy.
Yep.
Like, you got to throw it to your best players more.
Speaking of that, what good things does Luke Musgrave do?
Oh, good question.
Here's what I don't get. Oh, it's like they put Luke Musgrave in the Tucker Kraft role instead of changing
Correct.
The offense to maximize what Luke Musgrave does well.
That's exactly what
they did. What good things does he
yes.
do? He stretches the seam. He makes catches downfield. He's a tremendous route runner downfield. And he's got decent enough hands to maximize those opportunities. Why is he running a bunch of checkdowns?
Yep. That's exactly
what
they did. You're right.
That's what Tucker Kraft does well.
Yes.
I don't understand that at all.
Yes, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what they did. They took Musgrave and said, okay, now you're going to run the Tucker Kraft plays. That's exactly what they did. There's
that's
no
what he
question.
Does.
Yes, that's exactly what happened on that one.
It's like asking me to go run 5 miles. That ain't happening. It's not what I do well.
I got one more for you. Of the guys that got hurt today, who is the most important that they get back and isn't out for a long period of time? Taking Jordan Love out of the equation. Obviously, he came back.
Oh, that's a...
Because Quay Walker's pretty important.
Yeah, it's got to be Josh Jacobs, though. This is an offense that still needs to run the football like it did last year to be what it can be in the big picture. You can't run the football. Who cares about play action usage? It doesn't matter because you're not presenting a run threat, and defenses aren't going to respect it. So if play action's out the window, you have play action out the window, then good. Now, the Giants played a 1-of-1 high today, which I don't understand, and that's... what are they looking at? Like, I could not believe how much one high safety that the Giants have. But for most teams that aren't 2 and 9, you can expect to see a whole lot more 2 safety. You don't have to play action. Good luck getting them to get big plays against 2 high safety. I think Josh Jacobs is the heart and soul of that offense, and without him, it makes a big difference.
He is Ryan Wood. Follow him on X by Ryan Wood. Joining us here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, powered by Lakeland University. Ryan, thank you so much for coming on. Safe travels home, buddy.
Take care, guys.
There he is, Ryan Wood, joining us on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Aaron in Waukesha, you're next after the Packers get a 27-20 victory over the New York Giants with me, Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, and Tommy Wirtz. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, guys. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Matt LaFleur, and I've kind of seen this over the course of the year, but it seems like he's overwhelmed. It seems like he needs a co-coordinator or something like that because he routinely is aggressive when he's conservative, and he's conservative when he's aggressive, and he doesn't seem to have a really good flow of the game with regards to getting the offensive in rhythm. And I guess a good example would be that 3rd and 2, the second to last series, right? He didn't seem like he read the room very well. Like they just got off a really long drive. The defense got off a long drive for a score from the Giants.
Yep.
The defense was tired, right? And they really needed to get that 3rd and 2. And what does he do? He throws a long pass, right? Instead of prioritizing getting the first down, giving the defense a rest. I'll let you guys go ahead and talk about it.
Thanks for the call. This is the thing. At one point, if you go back to the Mike McCarthy days as head coach, but if you remember, McCarthy gave up play calling because he felt like he wasn't as involved in knowing what the defense was doing, what the special teams were doing, because he was so wrapped up and only caring about the offense. So he gave it up. Then Tom Clemens took over offensive play calling. You remember that next year to start off the year. That lasted like 4 or 5 games, and McCarthy grew tired of watching his offense and said, to hell with this, I'm going to go back to calling plays again and make sure we can still score some points here, because it wasn't going well with Clemens and Aaron Rodgers running the show at that point. For me, was it Favre? Is it Favre and Clemens or Rodgers and Clemens? I don't remember.
It was both, right?
Yeah, I don't remember who it was. But either way, he got rid of it. It didn't work. McCarthy took back over the play calling at that point. This is something that is very difficult for a play caller to give up when they are a head coach, because you're really going to have a ton of trust in that other person to call plays. You saw it in Detroit with Dan Campbell. He trusted Ben Johnson to make the calls and let him do what he had to do. Then John Morton takes over this year, and the Lions were scoring points, but they weren't scoring points the way he wanted them to score points. And he gave them a heads up of what he wanted to see. They weren't able to do it, so he goes, to hell with it, I'll do it myself again. So he took back over play calling for the Detroit Lions. So, yes, while I agree that Matt LaFleur maybe not calling plays might be better as far as the overall flow and so forth, as far as what's going on, and for him to be more aware of what's going on and maybe be better as far as running the clock and being in charge of the clock, I agree with all of that. They don't got a guy that can do a better job than he has, for me at least, and I haven't heard anybody else suggest somebody that's a better play caller than Matt LaFleur on that staff right now. So from that perspective, they have to continue to roll with him. Now, if a McDaniel pops up out of nowhere available out of Miami, if he eventually gets canned, then sure, I would listen to McDaniel being the offensive coordinator and LaFleur being the head coach, and McDaniel takes over play calling. I'd be wide open to that possibility, because he also believes in running the football like LaFleur, and they're super tight. So I'll get down with that. But as we sit currently, Tommy Wirtz, I don't think there's anybody that's a better play caller on this staff.
Yeah, and I think over the last 3 weeks, like, this was 100% Matt LaFleur's best called game.
Right.
I mean, it's not even close. I think this was Jordan Love's best played game. I don't think it's close. I think that watching this game, I can't find a reason to be overly mad at those two players, and those were the two player and coach. Yeah. And those were the two guys that most people were mad at over the last 2 weeks. And this was not on Jordan Love today. This was not on Matt LaFleur today that has made me angry about watching Packers football. It was the wide receiver room. It was the offensive line room. It was the cornerback room. It was the kicking game. All of those much bigger reasons to be upset. And for people to, you know, I can't believe how many Malik Willis questions there were in this Matt LaFleur presser, in which we'll get you a little bit of it on the other side. But Jordan Love, his day got ruined because of his teammates today. And it was a fine game on paper still. He should have been way more impressive on paper today.
And they would have scored way more points had they caught the damn ball.
Absolutely. And you talk about that 3rd-and-2, Aaron, where he was upset that they went for it and he's not worried about it. He's just chucking the ball down the field
coming
on 3rd-and-2.
Super long drive by the Giants where they turned it over.
That was the second best throw of the day for Jordan Love.
Yeah, it was.
It was a dot. It was dropped. Again, understandably, you're mad because they went down the field when they only needed 2 yards. Would you rather them run inside zone and hear the New York Giants yelling inside zone here on that 3rd-and-2 play like they would have done anyway?
They did run inside zone in the beginning of that game and they got it first.
I know. I saw it. You saw it. I wrote it down in my notes here. It was 3rd-and-2 and they ran it.
And Jacobs went the right way. He went left, which is what he was supposed to do in the Eagles game. But because they called the play, he panicked and went right and got absolutely annihilated. If he goes left in that Eagles game, they get that first down on 4th down. But regardless.
Unreal.
Sparky here, other side of the glass. He is Tommy Wirtz. We'll hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. We'll hear all about Malik Willis apparently as well. Tommy is so mad. We'll talk about that coming up next. Packers win! Packers win! Be happy. 27-20 over the New York Giants. It's the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios where we're broadcasting live, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Green Bay Football Postgame Show, powered by Lakeland University. Welcome back. It is Green Bay Football Postgame Show, powered by Lakeland University. See Sparky Pfeiffer here as we broadcast live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sports, but great place to go watch your games at, right? I mean, there's not many better places to go watch football at. Everybody, when we do our Follow the Money segment on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's with Austin Herdania. The last 2 weeks, previous to this last Friday, they weren't the top game being bet on, the Packers game, right? They weren't there. This week was the first week since, what, Pittsburgh, where all the money was flowing towards the Packers. It was the number one game where everybody in the Potawatomi Sportsbook was putting their money. Interesting happenings on that one there, Tommy Wirtz.
A push. I mean, it's just...
Winner-winner Potawatomi.
Well, it's that, you know... People in Vegas need to be running the country sometimes. It's ridiculous how...
I'm talking about Potawatomi Sportsbook. I ain't talking about Vegas.
Yeah, but they get their odds from an odds maker that they do in Vegas. Ah. They don't make their own odds in state. Potawatomi's awesome. Look, I'm not, no shade at Potawatomi. I'm just saying that lines for sporting events are the most accurate thing always.
I think they should hire you. You should do the lines.
Oh, I'd be terrible. I'd be so bad at it.
Those line makers make a lot of money. Here is Matt LaFleur from after the game.
Pause it. Stop. You cannot tell me that after two passes and like six plays that now the entire offense is going to change and they're going to have to draw stuff up for Malik Willis. You are laughing at that. You are the problem, sir. You are the problem. That is ridiculous. You should be ripping Matt LaFleur a brand new one on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, tomorrow, Wisconsin Sports Daily, that's going to be a topic.
No!
Do you want to see Malik Willis packages for this Packers team? I'm doing it as a topic and maybe as a poll question, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm doing it both ways. Both ways. It's going to be brought up tomorrow. 2 to 5, Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Jacob Morley from Packer Report will join us at 3 o'clock tomorrow.
If I was Ed Policy, I would make myself call the plays. I wouldn't even fire Matt LaFleur. I'd keep him on there. I'd keep him on it, and I'd go down. I'd Carly Ursay that.
Oh,
I'd be down
awful.
On the field.
Stop.
I'd have a thing in my ear, and
no.
I'd be calling the plays. And I would say, okay, this package doesn't include Malik Willis. Bone-right 24 power on 1-on-1. Ready? Break. I would say Malik's not coming in every time.
Drew Brees knows all about being pulled off the field. Knows all about it.
No.
Watched it happen for years with Sean Payton. You know what? Matt LaFleur's first call is going to be on Monday. Hey, man. Hey, Sean. We talk about some packages you ran in New Orleans. I'm thinking about doing some good stuff here with Malik Willis.
That is a desperate head coach.
Just saying.
That is a desperate move.
Let's go back to the desperate head coach. So there is Matt LaFleur from after the game of today. Some of it. It's obviously not all of it. We only got a couple of minutes left here. Obviously, but here's a little Malik Willis. That's the guy y'all want to hear from after the game. There is Malik Willis after that one. A lot of Malik Willis talk tomorrow on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Stop.
It's going to be a good day.
No.
6 to 9 tomorrow morning, Malik Willis talk with Tommy Wirtz, Trevor
Won't
Thomas.
Talk about it.
Trevor's going to be all about it tomorrow morning on Inside Wisconsin
Not
Sports.
Even
6 to 9.
His name.
9 to noon with Kuhn, John Kuhn and Rami Makhlouf. Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunnell's brought to you by Verizon, noon to 2. And then back at it, 2 to 5 tomorrow with Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's with yours truly. Enjoy the rest of your night. Packers get a win. Go celebrate. Have one. Have a cold beverage. 27-20 Green Bay football postgame show powered by Lakeland University. Live from Wisconsin Sports Radio Network Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Toodles!
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance.
TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.